at the Cattle Industry Convention in Nashville. We're going to visit with Dustin Van Loo. Dustin is the Executive Director of the Public Lands Council and also Director of Federal Lands for NCBA. Well, Dustin, let's talk about the area of public lands, federal lands, and some of the things you're working on, dealing with right now.
Well, Ken, appreciate the opportunity to speak to you here in Nashville. I've been with the associations for 4 years now, and under the current administration, we've seen across the board an increase in regulatory burdens on the industry, and federal lands certainly has not dodged that bullet, so to speak. The administration just released a regulation on Forest Service planning rule recently that we're currently reviewing. So that's an area of concern for our members to have access, continued access to those grazing permits on forest lands across the western U.S. But one of the most important things that we're working on for the nation as a whole, and it's one of NCBA's top five priorities for 2012, is the Equal Access to Justice Act and making revisions to that act.
Okay, tell us about that, and what is Equal Access to Justice?
Well, if your listeners haven't heard of it, it was passed in 1980 with great intentions. It was a law that allows folks to recoup attorneys' fees when they prevail in court against the federal government. So if an individual or a small entity had to stand up to the federal government, obviously they're outmatched in dollars for defending their position in court. So this allowed for their attorneys' fees to be recouped if they prevailed against the federal government. Unfortunately, the act did not include a limit on net worth for nonprofit organizations. So radical environmentalist groups have abused that loophole, and when they're worth to the tune of $100 million or more, such as the Humane Society of the United States, they sue to drive their agenda against the livestock industry and then recoup taxpayer dollars, attorney fees, through the Equal Access to Justice Act. And over the last 10 years or so, themselves, HSUS, has garnered more than $10 million in attorney's fees.
So this is one of those issues, and I have to admit I haven't heard a lot about it, but it's probably one of those issues a lot of folks aren't aware of, but one that has kind of been an advantage for those groups.
Absolutely, and we're working now at the national level as one of our priorities to educate the rest of the country. In the western United States, many of our members are well versed on the issue just because those interest groups, special interest groups that are driving livestock off federal lands have been using it and abusing it since at least 95, if not before. And I say 95 is because there was the Paperwork Reduction Act passed in 95 that stopped all reporting of these attorney's fees, how much is being paid out, who it's being paid to, and what courts are awarding these fees. So we became aware of it in the West, but now we're trying to make sure that the entire industry knows across the United States. And along those veins, Representative Lummis in the House from Wyoming has introduced legislation, H.R. 1996, to amend the Equal Access to Justice Act to close these loopholes and stop the abuse of taxpayer-funded lawsuits.
And that would specifically do what then?
This would bring that loophole to a $7 million net worth limit, which is the current limit for individuals or corporations on using Equal Access to Justice Act, so that it would level the playing field and stop the abuse by these multi-million dollar special interest groups.
Dustin, what is the percentage of cattlemen, I guess, in the U.S. that are using public lands for grazing purposes?
Well, it's hard to put an exact figure on it, but about 50% of the western cow herd spends some time on federal lands. So for the western United States, it's very important to keep that access open. It also keeps the infrastructure for the cattle industry at large intact in the West by having access to those lands. So we hear from the radical special interest groups oftentimes that only 2% of the cattle are raised on federal lands. Well, it's a false assumption that they continue to perpetuate based on the fact that only 2% of all cattle ranchers in the U.S. hold grazing permits, not that 2% of the cattle actually graze on those lands. And then to take it a step further, on the Public Lands Council side, we represent the sheep industry. And 50% of the entire sheep industry relies on the federal lands. So for them, it's even more important to continue that access.
What kind of tactics are these environmental groups using to try to shut down grazing on the public lands?
Well, primarily they file process lawsuits in district courts across the West or federal courts across the West, in that if the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, or United States Forest Service miss a deadline by 2 days or don't cross a T or dot an I on an application, these litigious groups then file a lawsuit saying that they're in violation of the regulations or statute, and then use that to have their attorney's fees paid for. And oftentimes there's injunctions brought down by the courts, which impedes our members' ability to graze. And it oftentimes is because of a process mistake by the agencies. So we don't believe that a process mistake by the agencies should preclude our members from grazing on those preference rights out on the federal lands that were adjudicated decades ago.
And of course, some of these groups, of course, collect money based on helping cats and dogs, and then are using it to, fight against animal agriculture.
Right. Well, especially in the case of HSUS, they trade on the fact that they're helping cats and dogs, when in reality we know that's not the case. The groups such as Western Watersheds Project and Center for Biological Diversity in the West trade on misinformation as well, by saying that grazing of livestock on federal lands is the most harmful thing that can take place on those federal lands, when in fact research and science over the years has shown just the opposite. And there's been large grazing animals on those rangelands for centuries, whether it be the bison or elk, large herds of wildlife, and then livestock grazing for at least the past century.